And at this time, to share their experience, strength, and hope, I want to introduce Richie M. from Westchester.
Hi, I'm Richie, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Richie.
Oh, boy. All right, so first things first, I need to acknowledge and thank the God of my understanding for allowing me one more day clean and one more day to recover. Second, I want to acknowledge the convention committee. This is nice. I mean, it's Westchester's first convention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember when it was still an idea and these guys pulled it together. And, I just want to throw some credit their way. Got to be honest with you, I'm nervous. I'm going to get that out right out. I'm always nervous. And lately, it just seems like I've been more nervous, right? Like, it just seems that, like, you know, our literature talks about, like, paranoia comes back, and it makes me wonder, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing different? What do I need to do different? Because lately, I've been feeling, like, on edge. Truth of the matter is, I'm overworked. I haven't been sleeping right. I don't eat right. You know, I got things going on in my life, and they're all manageable, but because I lack balance, it brings me to where I'm at now. You know, I'm on the way up here, right? And I'm literally, like, shaking in my boots, right? I'm sitting here saying, like, and I'm trying to talk to myself and say, you know what, like, it's not about you. It's not about you. You know what I mean? And someone told me a long time ago, when you're nervous, that's just God shaking the truth out of you, right? And if that's the case, then I'm going to be really honest, because I'm really nervous, right? You know, I get nervous speaking, and I especially get nervous speaking on steps, because I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't know how the step works in my life. You know, I just know that, like, I did the work, and things started getting better. I did a little more work, things started getting a little more better, and it just created a pattern where I started to notice that, like, the more work I did, the better I felt, the better I acted, I became better. I did the sixth step twice, and not because I ran through my steps once. My sponsor passed away, and when I had gotten a new sponsor, we spoke about it, and we agreed that it'd be better if I just start over, and I said, no problem. So I did it, and my first time around must have been really surface, because my second time around, it hit me hard. You know, I have a mixed experience with step six, right? I had a very joyful experience, because it was it gave me a chance to really look at, like, what was going on with me, and, like, what it is that I could change, like, directly. And then I had a hurtful experience, because I realized what was going on with me, and, like, how much how defected I was, you know what I mean? So when I did it, maybe I was just more aware when I did it the second time around, because the second time around I treated it like 8 and 9, right? Like, you just write the name down, and you become willing. You know, when you become willing is when you become, but the name is there. It wasn't like that with 6. You know, I'm going to try to stay on 6 as much as possible, but it's hard for me to talk about 6 without, you know, mentioning 7. But I did, when I did 6, that's what I thought. I thought I was just going to write it down in 6 and then, like, touch on it in 7, but it wasn't like that. I knew about a couple of defects I had off the top of my head, and I wrote it down. And I was like, oh, that's it? Oh, this is going to be a breeze. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, I could be a little shady. I could be a little dishonest. I could be a little, I could be jealous. I could be envious. A couple of things, no problem. But I'm like, something else has got to be wrong here, right? So I networked. I used the internet, and I Googled character defects. And half of me said that was just, like, a dumb idea, because what happened was I had about a page and a half of things that were wrong with me, right? Quote unquote wrong with me. What happened was, when I started to look up the meaning to these words, I started saying, okay, wow, I got that. Wrote it down. I got that too. Wrote it down. Got that too. Wrote it down. I was like, really? So after, like, the first 2, 3, 4 hits that came on Google after you, type it in, I said, that's it. I can't take no more. I can't do this no more, you know? I'm ready to hang myself, like, I'm done. And, I sat down with my sponsor. And I'll be honest with you, it was painful. It was painful. I mean, I've heard people refer to other steps as the bread and butter and stuff, and, you know, maybe I just haven't hit that point yet, but, like, 6 and 7 were, like, a very, it was, like, changing for me. It really allowed me to look at some stuff and then put some stuff into action. And when I when, like I said, when I started writing all these emails, like, I'm done. And then when I sat down with my sponsor, I started to, we started to cross stuff off because certain things meant the same thing, but they were in different orders. And I mean, the words were different, so certain things meant the same thing. So I was a little grateful with that when we started, you know, marking stuff off. And, you know, look, my defects, I want to say, are just as good and bad as anyone else's defects. And, you know, our literature talks about that familiar pain, that distorted familiar pain in reality, right? And that's the truth. I mean, there was things that I didn't want to let go of because I'm comfortable. You know what I mean? I'm comfortable. And then, you know, my sponsor has a spin on certain things, and some things I agree and some things I don't. But he had said something, and I thought that I was already kind of past that, right? Like, I thought, okay, like, if I know that I could be greedy, then I could just recognize it and change it, right? Now, anybody who's familiar with, you know, this area, we just got hit with a storm, right? I do trees, right? I work with trees, and I've been on the go for days now, you know? And that's where my lack of sleep comes in, and that's where my eating, you know, has changed, because gotta make that money, gotta go, right? So I am the only one that pays the bills. I'm fully self-supporting. I pay my way. I don't borrow money. I don't ask people for handouts. This is what I do. This is how I live. You don't like it, don't look at me. And the truth of the matter is, you know, there's no balance there. Now, boom, it's all work, you know, all work and no play. You know what I mean? Like, I need to do me, and that's exactly where I'm at. So, like, I'm tired. My allergies are kicking up. My eye is itching. I'm nervous. You know, I got all these thoughts going on in my head. And the truth of the matter is, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't work as long and as hard as I've been, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened was, I'm not going to give you a list of my defects because, you know, some of them are just meant for me and my sponsor. You know what I mean? Some conversations are just meant for a personal level. But, I could be that same person that I was when I was using, just not using, right? And, you know, I didn't come to this program for that. You know what I mean? I came to this program to change. Actually, I came to this program to shut my ex-girlfriend up. And then, you know, and that's the truth, right? Like, they say, you know, you got to do this for yourself, but it was her and a few other people that pushed me into the door, right? And when I got here is when I realized that I wanted to be clean. You know what I mean? I wanted to live this lifestyle. So I went to people and I started raising my hand. I started asking for help, and that's where I got where I'm at, right? So, like, in the sixth step, in the It Works How and Why, right, it says, all of a sudden, we notice a wounded look in the eyes of a friend after we've acted on one of our less endearing traits. Right now, it wasn't until last night that I heard somebody share something, and then reading this, that I realized that I put something into perspective, right? So I had to make an amends on the way up here to somebody, right? Because what happened was, I acted out on jealousy, right? And I didn't even know I was jealous, you know what I mean? And it jammed me into a corner where I was resentful. I was taking inventory, I was poking holes, I was pushing people away, I was character assassinating like crazy in my head, you know what I mean? Like, thank God my thoughts were just thoughts and they weren't actions, because I'd be going to funerals right now, you know what I mean? And the truth of the matter is, now that I recognized it, now I have a chance to make right by it. Right, because I get jealous, right, and I get when I'm starting to notice this now that like I played that victim. Oh, what about me? Poor me. You didn't call me. You didn't ask me. And the truth of the matter is, I gotta look the part that I play. I didn't call nobody either. You know what I mean? I didn't tell anybody how I felt. I didn't take my own inventory. I didn't look back and say, what's the part that you playing in, right? When they say like it begins and ends with you, you know, like that's easy to say when someone's coming up on me and telling me that I'm doing something. I say, hey, it begins and ends with you. Keep the focus on yourself. But the truth of the matter is, it does begin and end with me. And I agree with that. You know what I mean? Because that, you know, I have to look at like the part that I play in situations. Why did I play like that? You know, why did I do that? Why did I act like that? And the you know, 9 out of 10 times it's because of me. You know, it's because of something that I have going on. You know what I mean? I've had things happen to me in my life that, you know, I'm not going to say I'm much different than anyone else's. I mean, I didn't come from a broken home. I had good people in my life my whole life, you know. And when I got clean and I started to realize all these you know, all these things that I had going in my life. I'm like, where did these things come from? Why me? Like, why, you know, what did I do, right? And it says here in the Yitzhak Y, in step six, it says, our character defects are basic human traits that have been distorted out of proportion by our self-centeredness, causing us enormous pain, causing pain to us and those around us, right? Now, I got clean for someone else. I came in here. My motives for coming in here were wrong, but when I got clean, I realized that I wanted to be clean for myself, and I wanted to do this for me, right? But it's the look in my mother's eyes when I tell her, "Yeah, Ma, I will come to your house and help you out later." Thank you. Yeah, Ma, I will give you a couple of dollars. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, the truth of the matter is that wasn't my style. I was the one taken, you know, and now I'm the one given. Right, and I still fall short. I still fall short because I'm greedy. You know what I mean? I know greed is one of my, you know, I know it's one of my, it's one of my, is one of my character defects. You know what I mean? And like, it's like I'm out there and I'm working and I'm doing all this stuff, and then I got to give you my money. No, I'm not like that. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is that starts to happen when I think about it too much, and then I start justifying stuff. And I'm just using greed as an example because it's like that with everything. You know what I mean? I could justify anything. You know, I could, you know, I could, I really could. And when I first came up on 6 and 7, I really didn't know like what a defect was. And someone told me that, you know, a defect is how you think. So I had to ask myself, well, how do I change my thinking? How do I go about doing things different, you know what I mean? And it was a process for me. I mean, the steps are in order, and I got to 6 just like everyone else did. I did the first 5, you know what I mean? And I did them with a sponsor, and I talked about it, and I made step meetings, and I read literature, and I did all that. And, you know, and thank God for the first 5, because, you know, that really did set the groundwork for me. You know what I mean? That really gave me the faith and the hope and all that stuff that I needed to when I got to 6, because when I started to look at all the things that I had going on, like, inside me, you know, that really would have drove me to use. If I didn't have, you know, certain experiences under my belt. And like I said earlier, like, it's not, I don't know sometimes, I don't know how the step works in my life. It's not like I look at it and say, okay, I'm acting out on whatever, you know, greed, and then, you know, okay, that's what's happening right now, and I'm going to switch it right now. It doesn't work like that for me. It's not till after it happens, and it's not with everything. Some things I could see before they come, and then some things I can't. And when I don't see it is when the pain comes in. You know, I don't want to be in pain today. I want to be a better person. I want to be a different person. I want to change, and that's what, you know, that's what I came to this program in general for, not just the sixth step. You know, I mean, I could, it says here in step 6, right, it says our job is to become entirely ready to open our hearts and minds to the deep internal changes that can only be brought about by the presence of a loving God. God was an issue for me, right, because I had lost my father at a young age, and through my act of addiction, I used to blame God. You know, I used to say things like, why me? What did I do to deserve this life? You took my father, you took this one, you took that one, and now you're looking to take me. I had an uncle who was part of the priesthood, and he wasn't there for me, I don't think, you know, and it was things like that really made me not trust God. You know, I was in third grade, and I was diagnosed learning disabled, and they said we don't teach this here. He's got to go. We don't teach it here. So I took it as like they threw me away too, you know. And you know, looking back on it now, obviously I was misunderstood. You know what I mean? Still have resentments, but I'll get there. You know. And the truth of the matter is, when, you know, when I came in here, and that, you know, and like I still, it's still like a topsy turvy. Like it's a daily reprieve, what we talk about, right? Like it's a daily thing. Like every day I have to get up and pray that I don't act out on anger, fear, and resentment, right? Like we were in a meeting last night, and someone talked about fear and how paralyzing fear could be. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting here going, oh my God, my house is going to burn down. I got this in there and stuff like that. And again, I got to ask myself, like, what's going on with me? Why am I feeling like this? Like, what am I not doing? What defect am I acting out on, right? When I drive to work, there's a station sometimes that I try to listen to as much as possible. It's a relaxation channel, you know, running water and, you know, stuff, birds chirping and stuff, right? And I love that stuff. I love that stuff, right? I really do. And, you know, I'll drive to work and I'll put that on. And when I get to work, I'm centered, you know, I'm on my A game, you know, I'm like, whatever. I got a few personalities that I really can't stand at work, so it makes it hard to deal with them. You know, 7 o'clock in the morning, people are yelling at me. I don't really take to that well. Like, don't yell at me. But when I find myself, when I do certain things, that like I'm okay, right? But now if I listen to like hip hop or if I listen to rock or rap on the way into work, like I'm on edge. Like, I already got the chip on my shoulder. You know what I mean? And I'm ready. I'm ready to fight. Like, sometimes my boss could be a hard one to deal with, and sometimes I've noticed that like I'll look to fight with him. You know, I'll look just because I need to get something out and I need to yell at somebody, and I know he's going to yell at me for something, so I might as well just, you know, give him a reason to yell at me. And I don't want to live like that. You know what I mean? I don't want to live like that. You know what I mean? I wear my emotions on my sleeve. You know what I mean? I'm not the type of guy to look around and say, you know, like, you'll know when I'm upset. You know what I mean? Not even anger, but you'll see it in my face, because I'm not that guy. I don't hide my emotions well, you know. I got the sign, and I hope I at least said one thing that one person heard, that, you know, this was definitely a very good experience for me. And thank you for letting me share.
My name is Vinny, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Rich, thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And at this time, I'd like Carlos V to share his experience, strength, and hope on the sixth edition.
Good morning. I'm Carlos, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Carlos.
I want to thank the convention also. I want to thank and congratulate everyone for your wonderful hospitality, the way you guys have this organized. This, for the first convention, is outstanding. I got to give it an A. I mean, I've been to a lot of conventions since I've been clean. By the way, I got clean April 27th, 1988. I haven't found a reason to use since. Grateful for another day. Thank you. Just give you some information about myself. You know, I didn't get to this fellowship willingly either. I didn't have anybody push me in here, but I kind of dropped in here. I had nowhere else to go, and I haven't had a question God ever since then, because I know God was in my life before I got here. So it had to have been God. It had to have been something divine, because it wasn't my thinking that got me to Narcotics Anonymous. So to get back right into the tradition that we're talking about today, sixth tradition. Let me just read it to you guys so we could refresh our minds and focus on it. I know it's pretty hard, but I just like to make sure I get it every word. And NA group are never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from my primary purpose. It's clear to me that my primary purpose, of the group's primary purpose, is to carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. Whoever the addict may be, newcomer, old timer, that's not the point. The point is that the message gets carried. If I don't know what my fifth tradition is, then I don't have anything to stand on. Everything stands on that tradition for me. Understanding that if there is no conversation about saving lives here, then what are we doing here? So it always has to come back to understanding, to carrying the message. So my experience has been that working through the traditions, most of the time, it's easily interpreted when I'm thinking about it by myself, but until I start to talk to other people, that's when I get more perspective, more clarity, understanding from others. Because my little perception of what a tradition is, or a step is, or a concept is very limited. I got that. And maybe it'll broaden with time, but then it kind of naturally wants to revert for me. like it'll be a good few bits of information, then all of a sudden they kind of find a way to compress it down to a simple 2-3 sentences, rather than realizing the depth, the amount of time and thought it took to create such a concept, such a tradition. And the traditions really came from policies. First, they were oral and policies, and then they were written down, and then they became the traditions. For us, it is the survival of Narcotics Anonymous. It keeps us focused. And that's what this is about, keeping the focus right back on what we're doing here. Because at any given time, just like a person, a group can also go offline. I've been in a lot of groups where their fifth tradition was not being fulfilled. And you know, you could tell when you walk into a place and they're not working the tradition, or maybe they have new people and they weren't versed, they weren't trained. And that's up to us, the people who have been here longer, the people who understand this stuff better, to keep having these types of meetings. People keep showing up. Because otherwise, you know, if you don't speak it, if you don't make it live, you don't understand it, how are you able to help others? And like, again, that comes right back to what I first said, which is to get perspective from others. Because let me give you an example. You know, a convention is a good place to come in and get recovery, understand and learn about stuff. But if you look around, what you'll see is people who have little businesses flying around here, you know, they have like jewelry, which is nothing to do with staying clean or necessarily with any of the traditions. And then they have stuff with like t-shirts and stuff you wear. Now, all of that is fine and good, but it doesn't go into any of the aspects of addiction. It doesn't say, it's not exactly at all addressing the spiritual, mental, or physical part of our disease, of my disease. It's just stuff to put, to do, to have. You know, it's good stuff. But if somebody said and set up a little shop on the back of one of the meetings, well, actually way like on the other side of the hall where there's no meetings, and they're offering therapy sections or talking about or promoting their therapy. Now, all that's kind of related to the spiritual, mental, and physical aspect of our disease. That would be a lot closer to saying that NA is allowing that, or saying it is a violation, let me just put it blatantly, because it is promoting someone's take on what recovery is, as opposed to something like buying something that, you know, it's just an object. And using it and being happy with it, because it's very nice to have beautiful jewelry and clothes, but to have someone profit from any of our recovery resources doesn't work. I myself, early this year, had an encounter, something like that. I set up a aromatherapy, thinking, oh, aroma, you know, it's not just aroma, but we're talking about the actual being able to put like essential oils in your body, which has a therapy, there he goes the word, therapeutic impact on a person. And my hands was slapped a few times by people who were there, and I didn't realize it, because in my own head I said, oh yeah, it's on the other side, it's at the convention, nobody will notice. I mean, they'll come over and they'll wonder and they'll look at it, and actually we weren't selling anything, but still, that wasn't the point. I learned a big lesson on that. At the end of that convention, they were talking about suing me and getting lawyers after me, and scared me, man, because it was like I had good intentions. My intentions were to help people, because I've been around here a long time, and a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, I got this pain here, I'm going through this, and I'm going through that, and I feel this, and I went to this therapy, and that didn't work. And so I thought I had answers, and I figured, well, I catch a bunch of them at the convention. So my thinking was obviously not in check, and believe me, I won't do that one again. But it was just like an experience that I guess I had to go through. I had to, you know, take my little understanding of health. And I actually went to the committee. So I figured, let me check with the committee. I did the right thing. They said no. I said, great. Because I wanted to do it at the convention. So I told the committee, well, I'm going to do it anyway, off-site, near, but not related. And they didn't say anything. They didn't have any opinion about that, because that became a thing about the hotel. So I checked with the hotel. All of it I thought was legit. They allowed it to happen, but at the end of the day, it was too closely related. It was too close for NA's comfort. So Narcotics Anonymous, that particular convention was insulted, and they were really upset with me. And I still, you know, making amends for that. You know, just when I see the members, we always talk about it. Well, not always, but you know, it's accepted today, but it was a valuable lesson. Anyway, so moving on to like this, another aspect of this tradition, less money. You know, there's a whole warning thing going on there about money. Less money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. You know, my sponsor told me from the very beginning when I first got clean, he says, you want to make enemies? Lend some money. So I never lend money in Narcotics Anonymous. And people have asked me, and you know what? Sometimes I've needed money, and you know what? I won't ask. I will deal with it. I will find another way, but I don't ask for money from anyone here. I don't like owing anybody anything anyway. But see, the thing about me is that in my personal recovery, I have a huge heart, and I realize this, and it has caused me problems in relationships. And this is all about relationships. This is the relationship that Narcotics Anonymous has with its members, because NA in itself has a primary purpose, and everyone else might have a different purpose at any given time. But theirs does not change, because it is constant, it is a tradition. The traditions they're not negotiable, they don't, you know, you can't play with them. So, in speaking in relationships, you know, I tried to impress this woman that was in my life, probably the wrong motives, the wrong reason, because, I figured, I got all these years, I got a little clout with NA, they'll be okay with me if I, you know, do this thing, and I realized that it wasn't worth it at the end, because she didn't stick around. It was a bogus idea. You know, it was a tough deal. Imagine going out of your way, getting in trouble. It's like, you know, when you ever do that when you was a little kid, you stole something or you did something to somebody to make yourself look good, to make somebody else look bad, or, and then next, you know, it just blew up on you. And I had to deal with that fallout. So that, you know, that kind of taught me a tough lesson. It's always a lesson or a blessing regarding this whole thing, you know, when it comes to staying clean and working steps, traditions in one's life. So money is clear to me that aspect of it, when it comes to money, people are very particular. You know, like I had the same girlfriend, you know, I've been going through a lot of shit this year, excuse the French. You know, last 21 months, I left a relationship of 15 years. I've, you know, lost a home. I'm homeless still today. I was sleeping with my staying at my brother's place, you know, for a year and a half now, and now I'm moving out of there, and pretty much it's, you know, I haven't found a steady job. I'm making money here and there. I'm teaching out of college, but it's just not enough money, and so money is always, it's been this big deal for me. But I'm an artist, so you know, I got clean. I became an artist. I did some things. I made some money. I had $1 million house. I lost it, and it's been real difficult because I have this like thing about money. Like I don't think money's always there. I've always never had a problem with it, but it seems to me now I have a lot of problems without it. So I run around and notice that people are very particular about money. Like for instance, when you put money in a basket, whatever you spend that dollar or that few cents on, I never even counted it. I usually sign my ATM. I don't even look at how much it is, and just I look at it later. And now I'm starting to really look and see everywhere I put my money at, what I'm doing. Because if you don't have accountability, if you don't have understanding of where what you're doing with your cash flow, Narcotics Anonymous totally understands that. They don't lend anything to anybody. We're self-supporting. I learned that through this tradition, being self-supporting. Well, not this particular tradition, the seventh tradition. But the point is that money, it not only is a mood changer, but it actually gives you stuff that makes, that takes, that derails me, puts me off course, hoodwinks me, makes me blind to what I'm supposed to be doing. I lose myself in it, man. I lose who I am. I forget the essence of who I am. And anytime I walk away from that for some other reason, I'm left wondering what's going on. And by the time I know it, I have to be branged in by another addict to be told, hey, look, man, you got to get with yourself again. I gotta shut all this stuff off. So that's what I did. You know, I stopped the spending. I started to really look and see. Stop using my ATM like I used to. It just doesn't work. I had to cut up credit cards. I lost the credit cards. I filed bankruptcy about 3 months ago. And I never expected that to happen to me, man. I was just full of ego when it came to money. I just thought it was, you know. But accountability is important. And that's another thing I'm learning. So, like I said, the power and the prestige diverting is, you know, that's another thing. You know, there's a lot of speakers here, good speakers. They speak stuff and they move people, and that's great. You know, it's part of staying clean. But prestige that comes about that is so, it's empty to me. You know, if I'm not doing it with humility, if I'm not doing it with the whole purpose of helping another addict stay clean today, it is meaningless for me. I have to really give myself to you people, because otherwise, what am I doing? I'm not getting with myself. You know, and deep down inside, I understand this tradition really, it's meant to keep the focus and the primary purpose, to make sure that no one can stand up against NA anywhere and include us in their controversies or in their situations, because stuff comes up all over the place, and it's amazing how, you know, the predecessors, the people who were here before us, the original people who made this all happen for us. And if it wasn't for them, you know, NA, who knows what would have happened to NA, because I know it did go away from the New York City area. You know, the tradition also states that the problems, the word problems show up. And anytime I hear, you know, I think about when I greet people, I say, hey, how you doing? Thanks for doing this thing. He say, yeah, no problem. It's always, they say, no problem, no problem. Like there's a problem or there could be a problem. You know, problems are something that, you know, need to be solved. Problems are something that shouldn't happen. Or do we feel that there's, that it's, you know, it's some sort of a breakdown. That there's no real, like, concurrency. There's no unity. There's something that's missing when there's problems. Sometimes people say that problems are, you know, an opportunity that you could work on stuff. I kind of go with that too, that thought. But I think that Narcotics Anonymous has seen and been through so much, enough of problems where it's quickly easily seen where something is going if you take the certain path that you're on. So they quickly they're able to see it, knock it right off, and get you back on track. And then you feel better. I feel better when somebody corrects me. I wasn't feeling good when they told me about the freaking lawyer they were going to come after me for that little problem I made. But thank God that didn't happen, because you know what? I probably couldn't pay the damn lawyer anyway. So anyway, it was a tough lesson, and maybe that's why God has me here today to share with that with you guys, because it's not easily for me to see the relationship, how I was causing an issue for NA by opening up a little conversation somewhere off. That had nothing to do with staying clean at the convention, well, at the hotel of the convention. So, you know, and I always used to get upset because, oh, well, if they can sell T-shirts and if they can sell this and all this other stuff, and that was not the issue. And I got cleared on that, and thank God, because I could share that with somebody else, and hopefully someone else won't do what I did. And pretty much that, I'll just say one last thing about this tradition. All the traditions are actually portable. I take them home with me. I don't just work them in NA. See, like my personal seventh tradition, I have to be self-supporting. I can't rely on other people. All of the traditions, the primary purpose, unity. If I go through them all, I have them all within myself, and I take them home. So this one, to me, really means in the primary purpose of my own recovery, my own home. I have to be focused on that, always being with me and self, being keeping God up front in the fellowship, and never ever having to stray off the, because you know what, money will come or it won't, but if I stay clean, I have a chance at life. If I mess up and start going down the wrong road, there may be a point where I'll get to where I won't want to stay clean anymore. There may be, because sometimes I say, after 23 and a half years of being in here, I feel like, you know, sometimes it's like, man, what do I keep doing this? Why do I keep coming back? Why do I keep making meetings? Why do I keep doing service? And the purpose is, the reason is because it's a greater purpose for me. God gave me a purpose in Narcotics Anonymous, and to throw that away, to discard that purpose, that would be a sin to me. I wouldn't even want to live. Anyway, I'm thankful for my recovery. Thanks for letting me share, guys.